Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And for Payne and Pendergast this morning, I'm Sean Bajani. He is Cecil Shorts III. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. Good morning, everybody. Appreciate you joining us. Hope everybody's getting ready for a great weekend. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. If you would like to get in, be a part of the show, you can call or text. You can tweet at us as well, at Cecil Shorts with three I's on Twitter, at Sean Bajani for myself. So very fluid day yesterday at the conclusion of this show. A number of little news tidbits came out in regards to the NFL and in particular college football. What the poll was that I'd referenced earlier, Cecil. It was a poll that took all the ADs, all the athletic directors from across the country, and polled them in what they thought the upcoming 2020 college football season would look like and whether or not they thought it was going to be delayed. Well, then the majority of those ADs said they expect the 2020 college football season to be delayed. What's the majority? Try 73%.
Oh, wow.
That's 73% indicated they expect the college football season to be delayed. Even more alarming for Power 5 conference, only 22% of their athletic directors, this is from the Power 5, believe the season will start on schedule.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an important caveat, too. It's like, well, delayed, or are you going to have a football season at all?
Yeah.
Delayed was the question. Now, the level of concern across the NCAA is obviously increasing, as you heard J.J. Watt just a few segments ago from his conference call earlier in the week say, look, we're getting closer and closer and closer. It's fastly approaching for the NFL. Training camps are exactly 2 weeks away from beginning. College is supposed to be right around the corner as well. The growing concern here is that, yeah, you're getting close and we don't really know what the heck we're doing. Well, what the Big Ten did yesterday is they came out and said, we're not going to play any non-conference games. So that takes two games off of their schedule. You got a 10-game schedule now. And I immediately thought, like, man, how does that impact like some of the bigger teams like Michigan, Penn State? You know, like, what games did they lose out on?
Ohio State. Don't forget, I'm sorry, the biggest team.
Ohio State was actually the team that I meant. I looked at Ohio State's schedule. They were scheduled to play Oregon within the first three games, and I think it was actually their second game on the schedule this season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. And I just didn't have the time to look through everybody. But, I mean, look, Ohio State, Oregon, that was week two of college football.
Yeah.
That's a damn good game that you're not going to get right now. And so how else is this going to continue to change? I still call it a trickle-down effect. I mean, it is what it is. If it's not directly implicated or related, rather, to what the Ivy League, you know, chose to do earlier in the week, I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, everybody's operating as their own entity here, I guess, to some degree. But it is a trickle-down effect for us as sports consumers.
It definitely is. You could call it what you want. I agree with you. It was a trickle-down effect. It put pressure on everybody else. Like, hey, if they're canceling or delaying their sports, why wouldn't we do the same? Why? What's different between them and us, right? So I do think, and to be honest, go back to March. You mentioned this yesterday. Go back to March, the March Madness. During the league tournament, they did the exact same thing. So I don't know if they're Well, they are at Ivy League schools. They may be smarter than most of us, but I don't know. I don't know.
I'll give them that.
They think things differently. But it seems like when they make a decision, everything kind of trickles down afterwards. So for me, I would call it definitely a trickle down effect. It's something that makes you think, okay, let's take this. It's already serious, but let's just make a good hard look at it.
I mean, Darren Revell, who we spoke to yesterday on the show, you know, he said, look, the Ivy League, they're not operating anywhere in the realm
close to
dollars and cents and what it means like entertainment and exposure wise to, you know, major college programs. Mm-hmm. They're just not. Nobody's pretending that they are, though. At the end of the day, look, everybody's going to be affected from a dollars and cents point of view. I mean, look at what Stanford decided to do after this school year. For next year, it's already looking ahead to next year just because of everything that has transpired in 3.5 months at Stanford, which I have to imagine makes a lot of money all the time. They're cutting 11 of 36 varsity programs. No really big ones, you know, like wrestling's probably the biggest one, or men's and women's volleyball, you know. Cutting that's kind of a big deal, especially when they're talking about a $25 million deficit in the athletic program.
Yeah. It's frustrating to hear that. But I wonder, too, like, what about the independent programs? So what about, like, Notre Dame?
So Notre Dame, I'm glad you bring that up because I mentioned what the Big Ten announced yesterday. They're not going to play any non-conference games. Well, everybody, I guess, looks to the ACC next. And the ACC, according to a reporter from Richmond Times-Dispatch, David Teal, ACC Commissioner John Swofford, said that even if his league goes to the conference-only route, Notre Dame will remain in the mix. What does in the mix mean? Well, on Twitter yesterday, Teal cited that Notre Dame already has 6 ACC opponents on the docket. How exactly they make that work, you know, when you're looking at, okay, 6 games, they're going to remain in the mix, but you're not going to go non-conference. Do you just kind of appease the independent, you know, schools at that point in time? Like, how does that work? This is a big question because this is how fluid that it is. It's like you are muddying the waters so much with, and I can't blame them right now, Cecil, for being so indecisive. Because again, no business, no individual, no small business owner, no program that makes a lot of money with TV contracts, ads, endorsements, you know, a lot on the line, wants to put anybody or themselves at risk. Nobody wants to be the guy.
No, very true. What if Notre Dame added the rest of the schedule of the ACC, just straight ACC opponents?
And a lot of people...
So basically they just joined the ACC for this particular year.
A lot of people I was looking on Twitter last night were basically saying the same thing, you know. And most of it was directed like, well, dude, Notre Dame, I mean, you know, can you stop being independent and join the conference already? You know, like this is who you play the most of anyway. It's like, just join the dang conference. And
as regionally, wouldn't they be like Big Ten territory?
Yeah. Big Ten.
Regionally, mm-hmm. But if they have 6 ACC games on the schedule already, just have the other 4 or whatever it is on the schedule, let them be part of ACC this year, and let them compete for the ACC championship.
So the way that Notre Dame's schedule breaks down is their ACC opponents in Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Duke, Clemson, Georgia Tech, and Louisville, they are what they are. 2 others are against Pac-12 schools in Stanford and USC, with an SEC game scheduled against Arkansas, along with Navy and Western Michigan. Now, the Navy game, if you remember, that's the one that was supposed to be played in Ireland.
Yeah.
That was going to be badass.
Yeah.
That's been nixed. Not the game, but the location. I think they're actually going to play that at Navy now. But, I mean, my God, that was going to be awesome. And so, like, the Irish, I mean, Notre Dame, if you're them right now this morning, you're thinking, like, my God, what are we doing here? Like, how is this going to work? And that is, when you think college football, think of Notre Dame, certainly amongst the top schools, and that's a program that you're going to see on the football field.
Let me ask you this, because I remember Landry making a tweet yesterday about something about Notre Dame, and of course Pendergast came and made a comment like, who would want to play Notre Dame because of the TV money, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming teams that play Notre Dame get a piece of that
Oh, I'm sure.
TV money from them.
I'm sure.
So why wouldn't the ACC
want to join? Who's Notre Dame? Doesn't Notre Dame, haven't they always had that deal with NBC?
NBC? Oh, yeah. Right? They had it for a while. Oh, yeah. So, like, that just makes more sense. They bring in more money to your whatever, you know, whatever conference or team or whatever. So I think it might get into a, I wouldn't say a bidding war, but it would be interesting to see where they would end up this particular year.
It was a couple of years ago, right? Like, so Notre Dame played in the national title game. God, yeah, I'm really bad with time, but it's within the last decade, right? And they got just squashed. Like, it looked like they didn't belong. And they had a really good regular season. They got to the national title game. They got squashed. They were really close here in, like, the last couple of 3 years, right? And everybody's like, dude, we've been there, done that. You know, Notre Dame, they just can't. They can't hold their own, you know, against like some of the elite programs out of the SEC. They don't need to be in the national title game. I tell you what, NBC, they want to see Notre Dame in the national title game because of the money. It's always all about the money. So I'm sure when you're asking about TV contracts and things like that, yes, it has everything to do with it and then some.
Yeah, you're right. It was 2013 and they got blew out by Alabama 42-14.
Yeah. But weren't they really close here in the last couple of years, 3 years, like where they could have gone?
I think they were in the hunt for the college football playoff but didn't get in, or maybe they Maybe they did get in 1 year.
They were right there. If they did, I mean, they got ousted, but it was like, oh, my God. Like, you see this collision course happening, Notre Dame and Alabama round two. Like, please, no. Nobody wants to see that. Like, just give us, like, for years out of the American League, you wanted to see the Red Sox and the Yankees do battle, right? Before the Astros were even in the American League. Like, those are the two powerhouses. You wanted to see those guys. And in the National League, it was like the Cardinals and the Braves, or, you know, whoever, like the Dodgers, Cubbies. Those teams used to be in the mix all the time. Like, the powers that be in your respective sports. It was like, you want to see Alabama, Clemson till you really get sick and tired of it, or till there's no Trevor Lawrence to appreciate.
Yeah, they got blew out by, in 2018, they got blew out by Clemson in the semifinal of college football playoffs.
30-3. Yeah, so like
2 years ago, yeah.
Look, keep having great regular seasons, but.
No, it makes me think about it, right? How will the college football playoff go if it's just in conference? Say everybody does it, right? So I guess the SEC champion, the ACC champion. Bro. Big Ten.
Cecil, you're blowing my mind right now, man.
Pac-12?
That's a really good question.
Because there's only four playoff spots. It's going to be interesting.
All right, so.
And then that's the thing.
Depending,
like,
on how this thing shakes out, right?
Right.
We're already talking about how what leagues have been forced to do and what leagues have been forced to amend in terms of, like, how they operate from a scheduling standpoint, when they're going to start. Like, this affects more than just this year. It affects the year after. So however this college football season shakes out, I really do think, like, things that the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and now college have to go through, if they get to that point, they could look at it and say, you know what, like, I kind of like that. It wasn't a bad idea. Like, maybe there are changes that are made in 2021, in particular with maybe the college football playoff. People like the four. They think it'd be better with 6 or 8. You know, maybe these are things that are amended. Maybe we see more conferences that make geographical sense or just flat out competitive sense in the future, because you have to do what you have to do in operating underneath a pandemic right now. Maybe it changes in the future. I think those are kinds of things that, like, you're kind of forced into, so to speak. And it was mainly geared towards, like, that opinion, like, well, the NFL, they haven't necessarily been affected yet, but maybe Major League Baseball thinks about shortening their schedule in future years. Maybe instead of 162, maybe it goes down to 154, or maybe it's 140. Mm-hmm. Whatever round number you like, throw it out there to where you can amend how you finished the season under the pandemic, and you can still get that same rest time to, you know, begin the new season, if that makes any sense. Yep. Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. 713-572-4610. What do you think about the upcoming college football season and how it's shaking out to this point? You can weigh in there. Coming up next, it's a small step that could pay dividends in one of our biggest issues in society right now. We'll talk about it next at Sports Radio 610. Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts, the third in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. 713-572-4610. Get you in. 572-4610. Call or text. Tweet at us as well at Cecil Shorts with three I's at Sean Bajani for myself on Twitter. So, I feel like we were kind of stalemate for a few days, Cecil, after Steven Jackson, the former NBA player, weighed in on DeSean Jackson's comments in regards to what Steven Jackson said was speaking the truth with the social media posts by DeSean Jackson, including the anti-Semitic message that he attributed to Adolf Hitler. It was like that kind of lingered out there for a few days, and we didn't hear very much, and it was just kind of like awkward, one of those kinds of moments. But you know, I think a lot of media and a lot of fans, I mean, they were just on it. I mean, this was like a lightning rod topic.
Yeah.
But nobody else, like no celebrity, no athlete was, I think, willing to touch this with a 10-foot pole, it seemed like. I'm kind of encouraged at this point because Julian Edelman has decided to, not just weigh in, but has extended an invitation to DeSean Jackson to the Holocaust Museum. Now, Julian Edelman, who is Jewish, but in this Instagram video that he put out yesterday, I believe it was, he says like he didn't really recognize or identify as Jewish until like way later in life. And he himself, you know, had to educate himself on a lot of, political things, but just like historical hatred and, you know, the hate of the Jews is one of the oldest things, forms of hatred there is.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting Instagram post. And I think very well put, very well said. But to me, what struck me about this is over the course of the last 3 months plus, I get how long has it been since, George Floyd was murdered.
Month and a half.
Okay. So like I go back to like the last three and a half months with this pandemic, I feel like it's just kind of all been in the same. Like it's just been absolute
altogether.
Hell. Altogether, absolute hell. So over the course of the last month and a half after George Floyd's passing, I just kind of feel like people have fought ignorance with ignorance.
Yeah.
And there is just constant combative nature between, you know, not just two sides. There's all kinds of sides here. The fact that Edelman has extended his hand, an olive branch, if you will, in hopes of like bringing two very drastically, viewpoints together to both be educated about something, I thought was huge. But here's the thing. Just like I think we discussed, or maybe it was Wade Smith last week, whenever the news came out that the NFL was considering playing the Black National Anthem ahead of every week one game, right? I immediately said, this is a great idea. But you have to have the right people say the right things and promote this so it is not just something else that becomes a divisive issue. Okay? That has to be done. I think the same thing here. I think when Steven Jackson first was putting in his two cents after the George Floyd thing, but he had some really good things to say. I thought he made some really good points. But then, you know, he talks about how DeSean Jackson was speaking the truth after the anti-Semitic message and things like that. It's just kind of like you undid everything that you'd built up to
this
point.
Absolutely.
So your thoughts right now on Edelman extending this olive branch, so to speak, and do you think this can grow into something like I do that the rest of the country needs to pay attention to, will pay attention to, could blossom into something?
Well, to be honest, I was very frustrated when I seen DeSean Jackson's post, right? And then I seen Steven Jackson comment and say what he said, and eventually he said, I said the wrong words, blah, 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 blah. Well, and you have to be very careful in today's society, like you mentioned, how you say certain things, what you speak, what you post, especially being a high profile person, and what everything that transpired within the last month and a half of George Floyd and how Stephen Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, others were asking people to care about black lives. We're asking people to understand us and understand our struggle and understand what we go through. But you go out there and post something from a person that in history is very hateful.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You go out there and post something and say, hey, I'm trying to enlighten my people. I'm trying to encourage my people. You're not encouraging me by putting something up of Hitler. There's nothing encouraging about Hitler. There's nothing encouraging about, nothing enlightening about that situation at all. And for Edelman to handle it the way he did, yes, that was encouraging. Because what he did, and if you watched the whole 2-3 minute video, he said, I was upset and I had to wait. I wanted to wait and gather my thoughts and educate myself and prepare a statement rather than just react to it, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us in today, we just react to what we see right away instead of taking the time, gathering our thoughts together, and then stating something
yes,
from there.
100%.
Deshaun Jackson and Stephen Jackson, they didn't educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have to educate yourself before you go out here on the limb and just speak about something. You have no clue what you're talking about.
Right.
Right. And I don't think Deshaun Jackson meant to harm anybody, but you did. Like, ignorance is not an excuse. Educate yourself on this, on the particular topic, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at Jews in particular, in the Holocaust, they went through a lot of the same. We have a lot more in common, African-Americans and Jews, than we have differences.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. If we sit down and have a conversation like Julian Edelman is approaching, which he did an awesome job. And that's something like you mentioned, we need to take more. We should model our conversations after that. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't take offense to it. Take some time. Or if you do take offense to it, take some time, gather your thoughts, come out, say what you got to say. And he did a great job. Okay. Listen, how about we meet up? I take you to the Holocaust Museum in D.C. You take me to the African-American Museum in D.C. We talk about our similarities. We talk about our differences. And we have a burger and we have a tough conversation about what's going on. So I can understand where you're coming from. And you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
That's love. That's educating each other. That's that right there can build growth.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if we're just attacking each other and staying on one side of the fence and the other person on the other side of the fence, there's no growth there. Mm-hmm. There's nobody listening to each other. That's just throwing rocks and hoping it hits, right? That's we're trying to harm each other. But if we sit down and have that tough conversation and we're open and we're honest with each other and we're able to communicate, we can grow from that. So I love what Edelman did. I was very disappointed with Deshaun. I'm hoping that he does take Edelman up on his offer. I think that would be amazing. And Stephen Jackson, he's from the Houston area. I loved him as a hooper. I loved him as a ball player. He had this dog confidence about him. I believe he got a ring with the Spurs, which is pretty cool. But like you mentioned, you can't say, you can't go promoting one thing, you can't promote equality. You can't promote people to accept us, but you're not accepting other people. You're not doing the same thing with the other races.
Right.
Other
I feel situations. Like you just undid what, I think it was you that put it, pretty well with me the other day off air. It was like, you know, he just undid everything that he'd built, you know, in the moments leading up.
He did.
To that.
He made himself look bad.
He did, but. Oh, here's the thing, too. It's so difficult to do. And it's way more difficult when you're directly implicated in a comment or a criticism. But certainly something that you take a lot of pride in that is very important to you, that you feel like is a part of you. Like, I was always, like, told, and you hear it over and over and over, like, think before you speak and then think again.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I feel like that's what Julian Edelman did. Like, he said, like, you didn't really hear anything for, like, a day or so, you know, after Stephen Jackson's endorsement of Deshaun Jackson's, you know, message. You know, it could have been really easy for Edelman and a lot of other people to just immediately go back on the attack, go back on the offensive.
Yep.
But, you know, again, like, what does that accomplish? That's, like, what everybody does all the time, and nothing gets fixed. You just exacerbate the situation, and... I mean, that happens in everything, not just societal issues, but in regards to like how this COVID crap has been politicized, or how we as a society tend to, you know, take something sometimes so simple and just make it the most complex issue ever. Julian Edelman did a great job. I just hope people to pay attention to it. I hope this continues to grow. I hope Julian Edelman and Stephen Jackson and Deshaun Jackson can all get together.
Yeah, that'd
be
awesome.
Figure out how they can, you know, make this kind of thing a movement.
Yeah.
Like you have to, That's what these things are all about. You take a particular subject, issue, topic, grievance, argument, and you turn it into a positive. You got to have the right people to do it. From what I've seen and heard, Julian Edelman seems like there could be a lot worse dudes to help facilitate something like that. He's Cecil Shorts III. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I knew you'd bring it on that segment. Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you, in for Payne and Pendergast. All right, hey, we got a lot to do over the course of the next couple of hours of the show. Coming up, the Rockets' two biggest stars, not with the team in Orlando. And before you begin speculation and conspiracy theories and all that stuff, I think I have a few things that you need to consider. So we'll get to that along with headlines. And Mark Vandermeer is going to join us at 8 o'clock as well. Stay there at Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 welcomes you back. I'm Sean Bajani. He is Cecil Shorts III, in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. Good morning, everybody. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to get in, call or text. Ben Gary producing. Mark Vandermeer is scheduled to join us at 8 o'clock, so in just less than half an hour, we'll talk some ball with Vandy.
Real quick, just shout out to you for fixing that coffee machine this morning. That really gave me a boost.
Yeah, buddy.
Man, listen, and I thought about going to the other kitchen where it was already fixed. It was working fine. Well, let me support my brother Sean and make sure I can go, because he was here at 4:30 this morning. If you didn't know, you're just now tuning in. Sean was here at 4:30 preparing for the show, went for some coffee, and said, you know what? It's not working. I'm going to fix this thing. Nobody's here. I'm going to fix it. Because I see some creamer. And that creamer is telling me, I like your kind of like lower
creamer
order.
Creamer was not there earlier in the week. Somebody was dipping into the coffee machine. Somebody knew something I didn't. And I found it.
You fixed it. It was a cartridge stuck in there. You pulled it out. You restarted the machine. And I'm feeling good right now because I had me a cup of brew.
There you go. I appreciate you appreciating me.
I had a good bean.
And look, the key here was, I thought like it was shut down because of COVID already. So I was like, whatever. But then when I realized, okay, the coffee machine's actually broken, like it can't get any worse. It's turned off. It's broken. Mm-hmm. So if I break the compartment, like, so what? Nobody's here to need coffee anyway, because nobody comes up here to work anymore. Everybody does it from home. So I was like, it was a win-win for me. We figured it out. We made it happen. And now we have our second win. So we're ready to go. Coming up also this segment, we'll get to some headlines. First up, the Rockets, though. Two biggest stars, not with the team in Orlando, amongst others. And I think if you're being responsible, as I always try to be, it is not fair to assume that James Harden and Russell Westbrook are having some sort of complications with the virus. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair and irresponsible to assume that. However, I get that's probably where a lot of people's minds are going to go. There are privacy laws. Unless the players give permission to the team, you're not ever going to know anybody's name that tests positive or even tests negative, anything.
Nor should they. I feel like it's nobody's business, right? Like,
I know you believe
family,
that. Because
family on the line here.
I can't remember. It was Delino DeShields Jr. Remember the news? Was it from last Friday, right? Delino DeShields Jr., who had tested positive. I read that report. And according to Major League Baseball's private policy, there's a privacy law. Like, you cannot divulge any information in regards to a player's negative or positive test. But, bam, it was like I think it was a Cleveland Indians. If that's where he's at now. It's like, hey, Delino's got it. well, that's cool because he gave him permission to do that.
He did. Okay. He had to, I guess.
You were like, they need to be fined.
Draft picks took him the whole nine. I just don't like that.
It's like, damn, Cecil.
Full penalize everybody that was involved.
So I don't think the Rockets are going to have any situations like that. But along with Russell Westbrook and James Harden not on the flight to Orlando includes Luke Bamute and Rockets Director of Player Development John Lucas. They also did not travel with the team. Now, I just think you need to consider these things before assuming Harden, Westbrook, and the other guys have the virus. If you recall, like earlier this week, it was Astros star Alex Bregman. Look, he had to miss a workout earlier in the week because his test results just simply didn't come in with everybody else's. So Astros shut the workout down. Everybody had to miss
a day. Bregman, right?
That was Bregman. They got their test results back except for Bregman, so he had to miss an extra day.
I wonder, was it did he cut himself shaving his head? Maybe that was the reason. Like, man, you know, because he got a new haircut. I wonder if he just like cut himself and it was too deep, or it just didn't look good. He's like, give me a few days, my hair to grow back.
Like, you notice like some bumps on his noggin.
There you stuff, go. You know, so. The knots on his head.
Who knows what's really going on with Bregs? You know,
I'm just joking.
I also think too, like maybe this is a situation in which like these guys are just taking extra precaution with the Stars. Like if the maybe the Rockets are taking extra precaution. Maybe they decided to divvy up the flight a little bit.
That's a good point.
And look, Luke Mahmute has literally been officially a Houston Rocket now for like 2 days. Maybe John Lucas decided to stay back with Luke and Harden and Westbrook, maybe kind of catch him up to speed.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I think these are all like legitimate possibilities. Are they all likely? I don't know. Just given that, look, if you're those guys, you'd probably want to report as early as possible. I heard Landry say this, I think it was yesterday. Like, man, when you get on a plane, especially right now, if you're an NBA player and you're on a team, one of the 22 teams going to Orlando, like you're excited. You're anticipating this. Like there is real excitement. Like you're pumped up. You're ready to go. You want to get there. Get
things started.
Wade Smith was like, dude, it's like the first day of school.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I mean, I can kind of get with that. You're excited. Like if you're James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Luke Bamute, John Lucas, I mean, you don't go on the team flight. You've gotten tested before you get on the plane. You're going to get tested when you get off the plane, and you're probably going to get tested again before entry into the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's going to take some time. And if Alex Bregman, because testing is testing, it's not different in the NBA versus Major League Baseball versus whatever. Testing is testing. It is what it is right now. It's going to take a little time.
And maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm trying to have too much fun. I just think Russell Westbrook and James Harden are just extra. Like they like to walk in the building with all the nice, not even nice. You might not like their style, right? Well, they come in the game, they got their shirt open, chest hairs hanging out, different types of style, crazy clothes, clothes you probably wouldn't wear, some clothes you may think I definitely wouldn't wear.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make a grand entrance like, hey, we're here, we're coming. Just wait on it. You can't rush greatness right now. We're coming. Don't worry about us. We're going to be prepared. James Harden has got thin. He's looking.
He went
from bad body to looking thin now. I'm interested to see how it's going to work. But they just like, hey, don't worry. We're coming. We just want to make a little news right now.
So Russell Westbrook and James Harden are just looking to make like the grand entrance.
They're just looking to get some attention. Like, hey, we're coming. Maybe it was Morey's idea. Like, hey, Daryl Morey's like, listen, you mentioned something I thought it was interesting. You were like, maybe trying to protect their stars. Maybe they're just trying to like, all right, you guys travel. Let's just travel in packs. You guys travel and maybe they want to get some extra work in or like, listen, we really want to protect you guys because if one of you, our best chance to win is with both of you guys on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So let's bring you back. Let the other guys go and then you come in after. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't want to assume.
It's something I don't think we'll know unless, you know, you come to find out like, holy smokes, like these guys,
yeah,
they had it or they
just don't want to assume. Like
going
you said.
You don't want to assume. You can't assume anything. Meanwhile, the Rockets scheduled to begin their camp workouts on Saturday afternoon. They'll scrimmage against the Raptors on July 24th.
Ooh,
so that's 2 weeks.
It's really about to happen.
It's supposed to happen, Cecil.
It's about to happen. I feel comfortable. Now, the other day, I told you I felt like the MLB would have the best chance to last the whole season, right, without anything being canceled. Now I feel like it's the NBA. Everybody's in one bubble. They're getting tested numerously. You can't come in the bubble. I mean, it's just so much that goes into it. They're in the bubble. They can't really go out and about like that. So I'm this excited. I just want some type of sports, I guess. I just want some type of sports, if it's basketball, baseball. I'm not sure about football, but basketball and baseball right now. I just want to see something on TV, and it'll just be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Something to enjoy.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. All right, time now for headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, you said you wanted to see a little ball. Baseball, basketball, not sure about football. Well, you got a chance to see a little baseball yesterday as the Astros held their first inter-squad scrimmage at Minute Maid Park. Verlander against Lance McCullers, and both looking good, Cecil, in their first scrimmage, first outing for Lance McCullers in a very, very long time after recovering from Tommy John surgery. Four innings, just allowing two hits. You know, I guess mixed results at the end of the day is how Lance McCullers would probably break that one down. Did strike out five, a little wild, had a wild pitch, hit somebody, walked three guys. But Justin Verlander looked like in mid-season form. A lot of good reviews from people on Twitter after some of the highlights were released yesterday.
And Verlander seemed like he was going against the top guys. You know what I mean? It seemed like he was going. He struck out Springer in three strikes, you mentioned. Like, he looked like he was going against some of the good players. I wonder, will there be another inter-squad scrimmage? Do you think so?
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be
two or three, maybe.
Yeah, probably going to be two or three. Like, I think it was a day or two ago where Dusty Baker was talking about, like, trying to get a scrimmage going with another team. Like, hey, if we got to go there, if they're coming here.
That's right.
What the situation
Individual
is.
Individual teams can set that up, right?
So, yeah, they can set that up, which I'm a little leery of. Like, again, I talked about being unilateral. I feel like these are things that should already be put in place.
Yeah.
Like, this should have already been decided, but Major League Baseball seems like they were just like, all right, we need to get going. So, like, just report, make sure you're tested, get it going, and it's going to be all good. Up next on Headlines, my gosh.
Landry, I love you, man. That was
only Landry Locker. The Big Ten announced yesterday that they will move to a conference-only schedule this fall for all sports, including football. The Big Ten is the first of the Power Five conferences to make this type of a major change to all fall sports. The SEC on Thursday said it continues to meet with campus leaders to, quote, determine the best path forward for all sports. And Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby said in a statement that he's been advised to, quote, move ahead slowly and plan for all available scenarios. I keep going back to the Ivy League and the potential trickle-down effect. I feel like that's what we experienced yesterday after a couple of days ago, the Ivy League squashing all fall sports. You had the news from the Big Ten. The ACC has already said it would delay fall sports until at least September 1st and will not play any non-conference game in any sport, including football. So it's all big news from the college front that is, look, I'm kind of anticipating what's going to occur over the course of the next 3 to 5 hours. It tends to be that way once we get off the air.
As soon as we get off, everything starts rolling.
Everything starts rolling.
But it's interesting because the Big Ten is so many big games outside of the conference, right? You got Ohio State, Oregon was a big one, Miami, I think they played Minnesota, Virginia Tech, and Penn State. It was just a lot of good games outside of the conference, mm-hmm. and you're going to miss out on that. And it was terrible for the Big Ten. Not for the Big Ten. For the smaller schools that the Big Ten was going to play, like the Akrons, the Bowling sure. Greens, they were getting a lot of money from that. And I'm not sure if they – I'm pretty sure maybe some of them were insured.
Yeah.
That they'll get some money anyways.
See, I thought about that too. Like, you know –
but they're missing out on some big time.
Those games are set up, you know, sometimes years in advance. And, like, there are series that are created. It's like, okay, you know, Penn State's going to play this program for the next 3 years.
Yep.
You know, whatever. Cool. Like, yeah, there's a lot of money involved there. And is that deferred? Is it pushed back? I don't know. We'll have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah.
It's more important, like you said, for those small schools than it is for the
small
the
schools
ones.
Need that money. You know what I mean? That's how a lot of them make their money. Mm-hmm. the smaller schools like Bowling Green, they don't have 100,000 people at their games.
I mean, aren't there a lot of scenarios in which, like, these smaller programs are playing these major D1 schools, but it's really costing them more money to do that? I mean, it's just kind of like they're betting on themselves, like, for the exposure, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, I was reading something yesterday, like, Buffalo's getting $1.8 million to play a certain team. Bowling Green's getting, like, $1.5 million to go play a certain team. So that funds your whole – that money goes to your whole – all the sports programs.
Right, but I wonder how much it actually costs, you know, for them to go do that.
I got you.
And not just, like, okay, yeah, you might have, like, a big name on your schedule. If it's Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, whatever the case may be, but your other one or two non-conference games – you know, aren't big name opponents, it still costs you money to travel. I just kind of wonder, like, if is that, like, made up money?
Yeah.
You know, like, is that just money they're, like, accruing throughout the course of the year and they're actually in the red, or are they in the black? Like, what the scenario is.
That's interesting.
So, last up on headlines, new developments in the legal battle with Zion Williamson's endorsement dealings. The new documents came to light Thursday in court. Prime Sports Marketing and company president Gina Ford filed the lawsuit, of course, last summer, that kickstarted this whole thing, accusing Williamson and the agency now representing him of breach of contract. Well, in court filings yesterday in North Carolina, Ford's attorneys included a sworn affidavit from a California man who said the head of a Canadian-based firm called Maximum Management Group told him he paid Williamson's family for his commitment to sign with MMG once he left Duke for the NBA. The documents include a marketing agreement signed by Williamson with MMG from May 2019, a December 2019 letter of declaration was signed by Williamson and his stepfather agreeing to pay $500,000 to the president, Slavko Duric, for a repayment of loan, indicating that they have been paid and now they're paying them back. So this, of course, if you didn't know, is going to continue to get a lot messier.
This is something that it frustrates me for a few reasons. I think college basketball is very, very crooked. I think this family, and it's hard for me to get mad at the family right now, but they didn't handle it the right way. But how do you, if you were in that situation, how do you turn down that much money? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's thrown in your face. You have your son, your stepson, just incredible player, incredible athlete. He's going to make the NBA. It's kind of a guarantee, right? How do you go about not? I mean, you know, it's just so many thoughts that go in my head. It's going to get more messier. More stuff's going to come out, and this is not the first time it's happened. This happened years and years and years and years over and over
this
and
is
over
like,
to many athletes and many, many
this
families.
Is like the most serious money I can remember hearing about involving a college athlete.
This is crazy.
That is nuts. 500 grand. I mean, it cited, you know, look, 400 grand to the family. I don't know what the other 100 grand was used for or intended for. But obviously, look, Williamson's side is contending that this quote-unquote letter of declaration, these documents that apparently had his signature and had his height and his weight listed incorrectly, like kind of flip-flopped on this document. They're claiming it was obviously fraudulent. So, you know, it's a he said, she said. I just always wonder, like, what amount of money ever makes it worth it when you're this high profile of a figure and you're not getting offered any kind of money to go play for a program or to endorse this company or that company unless you're a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And if you're that big of a deal, like, you're kind of already taken care of in college to begin with. Like, can't you just wait a little bit? Knowing that you're a high-profile dude and you're going to get yours, but if you enter into some shady biz, man, you're probably going to get exposed in this climate.
It's tough because it's easy for me to say, just be patient, just wait, right? Because I always try to put myself in that position. If my son or daughter is big time like that, how would I respond? How would I react? And I'm like, I'm not about to do that stupid stuff. Like, I'll just wait on it. But yeah, it's hard not knowing their situation, not knowing their struggles. Like, you know, may need this, they may need that. And they're like, well, Zion's going first pick. He'll have Pepsi, he'll have Nike or Jordan. He's with Jordan. He'll have whatever. We can just pay it off real quick. So it's just, it's tough, and it's going to get, honestly, I think it's going to get messier and messier.
Yeah,
I'm hoping they solve it as much as possible, but this is something that, I don't know if you can even control it, though, because there's so much that goes into it.
Okay.
For other athletes.
I wonder if, like, you know, since college athletes, like, didn't they make this decision, like, here recently, like, going forward, college athletes? Or, like, maybe there's, like, plans in place where college athletes can be paid for their name and likeness, right? So the potential now of them earning money in that regard, if that maybe kind of, I don't know, like, is there potential for them to, like, take less of these kinds of deals? To kind of fly on the straight and narrow, knowing that they're going to be compensated in that regard.
Yes, I think it is. But you still have to look out for people being crooked or people being, you know, trying to forge your signature like it sounds like they're trying
to say that. Sure, somebody's also going to,
yes, it would be less of it because it would be legal. You're allowed to make money. You're allowed to do certain stuff.
But is it going to be enough?
Would it be enough?
Is it going to be 500 grand? No, it's not going to be 500
grand. 500 grand. My gosh. Oh, that is a lot of money. A
lot of money. All right, that's going to do it for headlines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.